That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to 1987, everybody. You're listening to Time Travel with Chris Rowe and Derek Gary. Here with you until 7 p.m. WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts.
Why did you kiss my ear?
Why are you holding my hand?
Where's your other hand?
Between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year. They're gonna go all the way.
from 1987, from an album called Momentary Lapse of Reason. That's Pink Floyd with Learning to Fly. And welcome, Derek Gary.
Excellent choice there, Mr. Earl. Excellent choice.
Thank you.
Big, big fan of that album.
Yeah, I am too. 87, that was pretty cool when they came back. I was a little bummed out Roger Waters wasn't with them, but they had the chops to make an excellent album anyway without him.
I believe the first time that I ever heard that song in 1987, because the album was released in the fall of 1987,
yep,
was sitting in traffic on my way to the David Bowie concert on the Never Let Me Down tour at Gillette it wasn't Gillette Stadium back then. It was Sullivan Stadium.
Never Let Me Down, or was it Glass Spider?
Glass Spider.
It was Glass Spider.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, 87, right? Never Let Me Down, I think, was early 80s.
That was the album that it was supporting.
Oh, okay.
It was the Never Let Me Down LP, but it was, in fact, the Glass Spider tour. The last great, huge, theatrical David Bowie tour.
Right. I remember when they were talking about that, saying that was the thing. That was the thing to go to.
It just went. It was totally over the top. I mean, you've got this. You've got this 4-story-tall spider, illuminated spider over the stage.
Yep.
And you got people coming out of it and all the rest of that. And then at the start of the encore, David Bowie comes out of the head of the spider.
Yep.
So he's standing 4 stories above the audience, and he's singing Time.
Nice.
And it's just mind-blowingly good.
And did he wear a Spider-Man outfit?
No, nothing like that.
For that tour?
He did have about 50 costume changes over the course of the thing, though.
Yeah. Oh, he was great. I've never seen him. I've always wanted to see David Bowie.
I saw him a couple of times, and always a terrific show. I haven't seen him since the heart attack, so.
Did he have a heart attack?
Yeah, he had a heart attack immediately after a show, 2005, I think.
Oh, boo.
5, 6, somewhere in there. Had to stop touring for a while. I don't know what he's doing these days.
Oh, he's probably just sitting around.
Yeah.
I would be. He has the money to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
After he had a heart attack, I'd be sitting around watching old Bowie videos and listening to tunes.
Sure.
You know what? I just lost my frame of thought. But how do you like my turkey hat, by the way?
The turkey hat is outstanding. This is, for those of you who are not in the radio studio, which is everyone who's listening to us, this is a brown headband.
Yes.
It's plush with a brown turkey right in the center of it, and felt feathers coming out in much an NBC peacock style fashion in a range of pleasing autumn colors.
Yep.
And we also have the stuffed Thai turkey, Beanie Baby Turkey, sitting here keeping us company on the edge of the mixing board.
Yeah, I forget what the turkey's name is. It's a Beanie Baby Turkey.
You've got to have a name.
Gobbles.
Gobbles the turkey.
Gobbles was born November 27th, 1996. And this is what it says on it. Gobbles the turkey, loves to eat. Once a year, she has a feast. I have a secret. I'd like
to divulge. She's the guest of honor.
If she eats too much, her tummy will bulge. And that's from the good people at www.thai.com, the Beanie Babies.
As long as we're in a Thanksgiving mood, I would like to apologize in advance to the turkeys. You shouldn't have been so tasty.
Yes.
That was the mistake that you made right there.
Did you see Obama pardon the turkey?
You know, I saw this, and the whole time I'm watching this, the one thought that's going through my head is just once, instead of pardoning the turkey, I'd love to see the president come out with an axe and just hack that thing's head off and say, it's dinner time.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be. I'm not saying anything about Obama and all this. I'm just saying, would love to see that.
Yeah. I guess.
Now I get the PETA folks riled up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I guess from what they said, like Eisenhower and maybe another president or two actually ate the turkey. So back in the 40s or 50s, they were just like, yeah, okay, eat it.
Eisenhower was a very practical man. You know, he'd been on the front lines, and you put meat in front of that guy.
Yeah.
It's not getting away from him.
He probably killed the thing with his bare hands.
Yeah.
So, the other thing I was going to say about Bowie, Tin Machine came up in 89.
That's correct.
I don't have any Tin Machine on the playlist, but Tin Machine was an interesting David Bowie side project.
Reeves Gabrel on guitar in that one.
Yep.
Boston Boy.
Yep. That's
so
right.
So, I like their first album. I never really got into Tin Machine as much as I loved Bowie.
Yeah, they were good. I enjoyed the first one was great. The second one had a couple of good hits. But they were an interesting band. They were only together for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But there was some good stuff on there. So what were you doing in 87, Derek?
1987, let me see. Well, I graduated high school that year.
In 87 or 88?
1987. Class of 87.
All right.
So I graduated high school that year, started college.
Yep.
Fell in love for the first time.
Very good.
Lost my virginity.
Very good.
Smoked copious amounts of something that is now a misdemeanor in this state. For the first time. Well, I wouldn't say copious amounts, but did some experimenting there.
Yeah, as well you should have.
I think the low point for me in 1987 was probably the night that I discovered Jack Daniels.
Okay.
Because I discovered it with a fellow 18-year-old, and we didn't really know much about Jack Daniels. our experience had been limited to beer at this point.
Yeah.
So we got a bottle of Jack Daniels, a fifth, right?
Which That's is a good size,
the standard size bottle that you're going to get in the liquor store, you know, not a little flask or anything.
Yep.
And we go to this party, and we're passing the bottle back and forth, just drinking straight out of the bottle and chasing it down with Bud.
Yep.
And we drank half the bottle between the two of us.
Nice.
And about an hour later, I lost the ability to see.
No.
And that was the start of a very, very unpleasant night.
Now, you were brought in with the ads, because you heard people drank Jack Daniels before, so you couldn't have just picked up a bottle and said, I think I'll try this. You had to have known a family member or somebody, you saw him drinking Jack.
No, this was a suggestion, actually, from this friend of mine, you know, who was like, hey, we're going to this party, let's get this bottle of Jack Daniels, this will be awesome, you know, and I'm like, hey, Jack Daniels, sure, that sounds like a good idea. This story actually culminates. This is one of my brush with fame stories.
Yep.
John Henson. Are you familiar with him?
John Henson.
He used to be the host of Talk
Skunk
Soup.
Boy.
Yeah. Skunk Boy. He's been on Versus. He's been all over the place. John Henson and I were at BU at the same time. We were at this party. And after losing the ability to see straight and the room starting to spin, I felt the immediate need to get the Jack Daniels out of my body.
Right.
So I go to the bathroom and eliminate some of the Jack Daniels. Managed to get up and get back to the door, open it. John Henson is standing there.
Yeah.
And as soon as the door opens, I immediately have to turn around and go back to the toilet and remove more of the Jack Daniels from my body. So Henson's standing there looking at this, and he's like, screw it, I'll use the sink. He shuts the door. So I'm on my knees in front of the toilet. He's relieving himself in the sink. And he looks at me and he's like, oh, you poor, poor freshman. You poor freshman. And he gave me a very sage piece of advice. He said, you need to think of this as the evil time after which everything will be better.
Right.
And he proceeded to tell me this story about his freshman year, waking up in the middle of the night after drinking too much, projectile vomiting, and his roommate yelling, John, stop, stop. And, of course, John can't stop, and he can't say anything.
It's difficult to stop a projectile vomiting.
Yeah. So after about 5 minutes of this, we're both walking out of the bathroom together, and my other friend Dave is standing there, and he's like, great, I got to go to the bathroom. You guys are in here telling vomit stories.
Yeah. The only thing that could really stop or at least slow down a projectile vomit is a bucket.
Yeah.
That's about all you can do.
Yeah.
Or just get out of the way.
Just put it over your head and, or stick your head out the window, which is what I used to do.
Yeah, we got a very persistent call here. I'm going to play Little New Order, Bizarre Love Triangle from 87
good
here.
Good stuff.
Thank you, Derek. We'll be back here with Derek Gary listening to Time Travel on WMFO Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle, and thank you for listening. We're here until 7 p.m. doing Time Travel, and then we'll be doing Here at Wow, Derek's show, from 7 to 9 p.m. So thanks for listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts.
Did you find any Jethro Tull?
Here is New Order.
I've never seen a guy get picked up by his testicles before. Lucky thing for you, that cop passed by when he did. Otherwise, you'd be lifting up your schnutz to tie your shoes. I'm sorry. That's terrible. You have any idea how glad I am I didn't kill you?
Don't you have any idea how glad I'd be if you had?
You play with your balls a lot.
I do not play with my balls.
Larry Bird doesn't do as much ball handling in one night as you do in an hour.
Are you trying to start a fight?
No, I'm simply stating a fact, that's all. You fidget with your nuts a lot.
You know what would make me happy?
Have a couple balls and an extra set of fingers?
From Let Me Up, I've Had Enough from 1987, Jammin' Me, Tom Petty, and the Heartbreakers. And before that, Bizarre Love Triangle, New Order from 87. Thank you to Mark from Medford who called in. He said he gave us from the class of 79.
Wow.
Yeah. Mark said, you know what? You can, in the case of Jack Daniels, you could have gotten Jim Beam. half the price and just as good.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. To this day, I really can't drink Jack Daniels straight.
Yeah.
Like, even on the rocks, it's just like, I get the taste, and I'm like, ew, Jim Beam, I don't have that problem with.
Yeah, I can still do it, but the one thing that I had a problem with, or jump forward to 89, remind me to tell the story in 89 when I had a problem with liquor for the really first time. Nice. Yeah, I had been drinking for a little while, but then I'll tell it in 89.
That one night when you went too far and discovered,
absolutely,
this is what's wrong with drinking.
Yes, and then and then I couldn't drink that particular beverage for quite some time. Also, hello to Carol, who called in, and she requested a little Rush from 87 or 89. We'll get something on there pretty soon. She picked three different choices. It's going to be one of the three, Prime Mover, The Pass, or Red Tide.
Mm.
So it's one of those three, and thank you again to Carol for calling in. I'm not sure what Carol's class was, but I would say she was an 80s girl, too.
So what were you doing in 87? What was going on in Chris Earl's
87,
life?
I was a sophomore in high school. Was I a sophomore or junior? I guess I was a sophomore, yeah.
So you were trying to hang out with people who had driver's licenses.
At that point, I got my license. Ooh. My first, I had a 1979 green V8 Bonneville.
Wow.
Probably the best car I've ever had. Because I've had a bunch of stuff since then, like Corsicas and a Taurus and crap like that. But I haven't had a nice Bonneville since then.
This is back in the days when gasoline was like 89 cents a gallon, right, by the way, and you could afford to drive a Bonneville.
Yeah, kind of. It still cost me like 20 bucks to fill the tank for the week. But what was cool is the Pheasant Lane Mall had just opened.
Oh, yeah.
And we would pile into the car and go up there in the Bonneville with the nice cushy seats. And yeah, it wasn't bad at all. And anytime a car was coming, the big V8 engine, I'd just pull right out in front of it and zoom right off. So yeah, and drove on the left side of the road. I did all kinds of things that you would do as an early young man with a license and thinking he's invincible.
Now, I was going to say, why are you going to Pheasant Lane when Rockingham is right up the road from you? Rockingham didn't exist at that point.
I don't think so.
Rockingham was still a dog track, and there was no mall there.
Right, right. Yeah.
So if you wanted a mall, you were going south to, I guess, Burlington or north to Pheasant Lane.
Burlington was the big mall, and then Pheasant Lane came in and started taking away some of their people because everybody was going to New Hampshire right over the border for tax-free shopping.
Sales tax-free, baby.
Yeah, around Christmas time and Black Friday coming up. Yeah, my father's a big fan. My father will drive to New Hampshire for like a $30 item to save tax. And I'm like, Dad, the amount of gas it costs you to go up there. Oh, no. Still, you know, he thinks it's a job well done.
Hopefully he'll be tuned in at 7 o'clock when I start counting down all the Black Friday specials.
He would so appreciate that, Derek.
I got them all in front of me right here, folks. 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to start breaking down the Black Friday specials that you absolutely cannot miss.
Yeah.
The best buys that are out there.
Some beauties.
Unbelievable.
And what is interesting this year, actually, we'll talk about it more on your show, but what's interesting is the amount of sales that are going to be happening online, too, on Friday. It's like,
why leave the house?
Yeah, it's like, why leave the house? There's a reason to leave the house, because it's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's a reason to leave the house, because you can get angry at 15 people in the space of 30 seconds, which is what happened to me when I went to the supermarket earlier tonight.
Yeah.
Which was huge mistake. I know better. Okay? Let's say, do not go to the supermarket tonight. And by the way, if you know somebody who is sitting in that 45-mile traffic jam out on the Mass Turnpike, give them a call and tell them you love them before they just explode. You know what I forgot? I forgot the stupid roasting pan to put the turkey in. So I had to go get one of those.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I forgot that I just remembered is the string to tie up the legs.
Oh, yeah. You need the string. No, you could use tooth stuff.
Dental floss.
Dental floss. There you go.
There's no dental floss in my parents' house because my parents haven't had actual teeth for many years now. So that's not going to work. This is for the past, I believe, 4 years now.
Yeah.
Or this will actually be the fifth year. I have been cooking the turkey. In none of those 5 years has there been string for me to properly tie up the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Every year I manage to find something in the cellar that I can use.
Yep.
A couple of years ago, I used twist ties.
That's not bad.
We had some of those really long twist ties that you get.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is great. You just wind it up and everything's perfect. It was just one problem. The plastic coating on the twist ties will not withstand temperatures in the oven.
Yeah.
Therefore, there was melted plastic all around the bottom of the turkey
wire,
legs.
Where the rest of it was, right?
No, the wire. I could get the wire off easily enough.
Yeah.
But I had to get rid of the skin with the melted plastic on it.
That's because, a dangerous turkey to eat.
Yeah. There was probably a low level of toxic fumes that had been released throughout the turkey by that point in time. But as I recall, it tasted very good.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a little secret there that even Alton Brown doesn't know about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I tried a deep fried turkey a couple of years ago too. You try that yet?
No, I got one of my coworkers is doing that.
Not bad.
I can't. Does it taste good?
Yeah, actually, I've had it twice. It's not bad.
I just can't get away from the fire hazard aspect.
It's a huge fire hazard.
Here's a gallon of boiling oil. Let's put a turkey in it.
And of course, most of the people that are making it are usually drinking.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like you don't want to bring that to out to the Patriots game.
This is not the time to discover your love for Jack Daniels. Is what we're saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play Carol's request here. I've decided on Prime Mover from Hold Your Fire from 1987.
Good choice.
So this is for Carol, who's out there listening. Rush, Prime Mover from Hold Your Fire, 1987. Thanks for listening to Time Travel with Chris Earle. Special guest Derek Gary here with you doing time travel till 7 p.m.
From the point of conception to the moment of truth.
You are in 1987 here on Time Travel. That is Rush with Prime Mover from the album Hold Your Fire. And Derek, that was the first concert I ever went to. 1987, Hold Your Fire. And I left that concert with my ears ringing and my voice gone for the next 2 days.
Yep, that's what those arena rock shows used to be like, man.
Yeah.
That was a great time.
Rocked the house.
I believe, I'm trying to think, 1987. I know I saw Roger Waters. I know I saw David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
That year. I know I went to at least one other concert that year, but I cannot for the life of me remember what it is.
Yeah. What else was big that year? Did you just go see Tiffany?
I did not see Tiffany.
No? She was big that year.
She was playing shopping malls that year, I think, even though she had the number one record in America.
Yeah. She was running. Yeah. But the shopping malls were packed.
Oh, yeah.
With screaming crazy people, like the people that are watching The Twilight now, right?
Yeah. The same girls.
What is up with that? It's like the Beatles.
They're the daughters of the girls. They're the daughters of the girls who like Tiffany.
Yeah. This just came out of nowhere, because I think the first one came around and left, and then it must have been big on video or something, because it came back, and I'm like, what is this?
Well, the first one was huge in the theaters.
Was it?
Yeah. It had the same, like, massive buzz and, like, girls going crazy. And
is it a romance? What's the big thing?
Yeah, she's in love with a vampire, actually, and this one she's in a love triangle with a vampire and a werewolf.
Well, there you go. Nice. Yeah. Well, I could see the attraction.
At the end of the first one, the vampire took her to the prom.
Yeah? Wow.
Yeah.
Which one would you choose if you had the choice, the vampire or the werewolf?
I would choose to gouge my eyes out before exposing myself to any of that Twilight
stuff. Oh, supernatural?
Well, no. I mean, I got to choose. Like, I think the vampire is the better choice.
Say it's like a Bela Lugosi vampire.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the very least, you're not cleaning hair up off the sofa
every
time the person transforms.
Yeah, I don't think I'd get into the werewolf thing either.
You know, it seems cool, and then you think about pet ownership.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to have a litter box, first of all. And that hair just gets everywhere.
Yeah. Werewolf has never been sexy, though. And they made werewolf sexy?
I think, Teen Wolf, Michael J. Fox.
Was that sexy?
Yeah. It was kind of, it was a nice-looking werewolf.
Yeah.
You know, there's an allure to the werewolf. There's a certain freedom and primal sense about it.
Right.
It's not like, I mean, let's face it, vampires are sold strictly on sex appeal now.
Right. Yeah.
Because drinking other people's blood is sexy.
Right. And it always has been.
Yeah.
Even the original novel.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Anyway, we're in 1987. That was Rush, Prime Mover, Hold Your Fire. And you got something very special for us.
Yeah, I and it's swine flu.
Swine flu
is what it is. I made a point of pulling out a couple of things that were precious to me during the years in question that I thought you might not have, including this one, which was surely a guilty pleasure for many, many, many of our listeners back in 1987. And you're waving your finger at me.
Hold on 1 second, because you're not actually hooked up to the board. I'm going to do is we change over the tape. Hold that thought, and you're gonna play that after this.
All right.
And
you'll press some buttons, and the magic will happen.
Yeah, and I'm going to press the buttons, and the magic will happen. So hold that thought. You haven't said what it is. It's very exciting. It was huge. Hairband.
Let me just say, everybody, as soon as you hear the opening notes of this, you will know exactly what. I don't even need to intro this.
Absolutely.
Just the first two notes, you're going to be like, oh my God, I remember that.
Yes. So that is going to come up after this. And this was recorded at Canopy Lake Park.
1987.
Yep. 89, actually. We're going to jump ahead for a second.
Ooh.
This is the Dolphin Waxes here on Time Travel.
God's great big family, and the truth's You know, love is all we need. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. It's true, we make a better day, just you and me. Well, send them your heart. So they know that someone cares. And their lives will be stronger and free. It's God has shown us by turning stone. We are the world, chuckle, we are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving. We make a better day, just you and me. Just believe there's nothing we can find. Well, that's realize. All is a change can all become.
Stand together as one.
Well, we are the world. We are the children. Choice we're making. Yeah, we're saving our own lives. It's a better day, just you and me.
We are the world.
Yeah, we are the world.
We are the children.
Yes, we are the children.
We are the ones to make a brighter day. So let's start giving.
Hey, let's start giving.
There's a choice we're making.
All right, now let me hear you.
WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. That's the Dolphin Waxes here on Time Travel.
Bye. There's a criminal on the loose. It could be in your area.
In fact, it could be in your backyard.
It's the Asian longhorned beetle, a black and white insect, and it's a tree killer.
Thing is, in cold weather, it goes into hiding inside the trees.
So, we need your help.
Don't move firewood. It can spread the beetle.
Buy it locally. Burn it locally.
If you want to protect the trees, it's as simple as black and white. Don't move firewood.
Learn more at beetlebusters.info. A message from the USDA.
Beetlebusters.info. I've been saying that for years. Don't move the firewood.
Quit touching the firewood.
Stop touching the firewood.
Leave the firewood where it is.
Leave it.
Get away from the firewood.
You could have beetles in there.
Exactly.
And they could tear down your house.
They'll start ripping down all the trees like they're doing out in Worcester.
Yeah.
And you'll have no trees. Why? Because you moved the firewood after we told you not to.
Listen to the Beetlebusters. Beetlebusters.
They need a theme song. Yeah. Beetlebusters.
We're going to work on that. We're going to get them a nice song.
Maybe they get those guys that did the Mercury Rising theme to write something for them.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. That's an excellent one. I like that one. Thank you to Mark from Medford calling in again. He said that his Jim Beam's not holding down after the dolphin waxes with We Are the World live from Canobie Lake Park.
You know, the hopes and dreams of a young generation can be heard. Echoing throughout that outstanding song.
That is true. That was actually a jump ahead to 89, but it was myself and three classmates from 1989, and we were at Canobie Lake Park. I think we paid like $20, got into the studio, and they gave us like a pamphlet sized thing with lyrics.
Here's your lyrics. Don't pee on anything.
Yeah, there was no screen like karaoke or anything, and then we did our best. And yeah, and that's it.
We hadn't developed awesome video karaoke technology by 1989.
No. But what an excellent band name that we came up with.
The Dolphin
off
Waxes.
The top of our head. That one's nice, the Dolphin Waxes. Four young boys from the 80s. And after that, of course, was Europe, the final countdown. A more exciting song from 1987 I can't think of.
That's a song that just makes you get up and dance.
Yeah.
And wonder who wrote those lyrics. Because it wasn't the band.
No.
It absolutely wasn't the band. I'm convinced that someone just handed them
Pretty
like,
Boys.
English lyrics.
Yeah.
Because it already had a hit with this song overseas.
Yeah.
Someone just handed them your English lyrics and said, sing this.
Yeah.
Well, what does this mean? Just don't ask. Just
don't
sing
ask
it.
Questions.
We're heading to Venus.
Just
okay?
smile.
What does that mean? Just
smile
don't ask.
Smile and look pretty and sing this song.
Puff
and
your hair
make
out.
Millions.
Puff your hair out, snarl at the right point, and you'll be wealthy.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Europe, where are they now? Don't know?
No.
They still
knows.
Play?
I haven't heard anything about them for years.
Yeah,
surprisingly, they don't pop up on any of the reunion shows that are going on all over the place.
No, there's all kinds of 80s reunion shows going on.
They're a likely candidate to show up at one of those House of Blues.
Yes.
We've got five bands that were one-hit wonders from the 1980s all playing on one night.
Yeah. You know, I saw the one with ABC, which was good last year, and Heaven 17. Wang Chung was supposed to be there. Oh, actually, were they there? Yeah, they were there.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't put an impression on me.
Wow.
But they were pretty... No, they played the two hits at the end there. But they played like a lot of like new obscure stuff. ABC was phenomenal. They played all their hits.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure Wang Chung didn't do To Live and Die in L.A., which is like the best song that they ever came
up
with.
No, that was a good tune, yeah.
It's a great song.
But yeah, that was an excellent night. That was a lot of fun. And we were in 1987. We're going to actually have to jump ahead to 1988 so we can make it to 1989. Danielle had called in. Hello, Danielle. She was baking a pumpkin pie. And she's not sure if she's coming out tonight.
Yay, pie. Finish that pie up early. And
finish that pie up and come out, Danielle.
Head over to the Tavern at the End of the World while it cools.
Absolutely. Come down and have a couple of drinks at the Tavern at the End of the World. Free comedy show, 8:30 p.m. Derek and myself will be there.
Pumpkin ale.
They got pumpkin ale, yep. Maybe Danielle could bring in the pumpkin pie. She probably cooked it for the family, but who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe there's extra.
Who deserves that pie more, Danielle? Your family or your friends?
That's a good question.
Think about that.
Yeah, that's a good question. In my case, it's my friends.
Yeah.
You know that.
Well.
But she also said she went to Foxborough, and she used to go to the Foxborough, the football games, and actually have deep-fried turkey, which is pretty cool.
What?
So there must have been some very severe burns that happened every now and then.
Those are early adopters because, and, I mean, the deep-fried turkey, the turkey fryers haven't been around for that long.
No. No. But they're good.
I got to do it the traditional way, man.
Yeah. I had one other thing I wanted to play from 87. I'm just going to play a piece of it, and then we'll get out of here, because we got to jump into 88. And I'm going to play the song from 88 is going to be for Daniela, because I know she likes the band. And the title speaks for itself. But I'm going to play a little taste of this one from 87, then we're going to jump into 88. This is Mars with Pump Up the Volume.